Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike, joined with Paul Preidecker. And today we are talking to Reed McDonald and Riona Armsmith with Magnix Electric Powertrains. And you guys are doing some really cool stuff with putting electric engines in airplanes, from what I understand.
Yeah. Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Is it your first time?
To Oshkosh?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay, great.
No, but you're not new to the electric engine business. You've been doing this for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been around technology and electronics, and super excited to be here with Magnix and our partnership with Harbor Air, bringing the e-Beaver to Oshkosh.
And how long has the e-Beaver been operating?
For about 5 years. Yeah, we started back in 2019 with our first electric flight. That was a result of a very quick 12 months of development and integration into the Beaver for our first flight. But since then, we've done 89 flights on that platform.
Riona, I understand you're the chief technical officer?
That's correct, yeah.
That's great. So from a training standpoint, when you have a pilot that's flying these airplanes, is it more or less traditional training, or... Yeah, there's some changes to how you do this.
Yeah, so what we've worked on is we've developed a new engine screen, but what we try to do is keep it as similar as possible, right? Pilots don't particularly like change, and,
you know, unless it's in their pay.
Of course. We try and not give them too much data, right? That's half the challenge of, as engineers, we want to feed in a lot of information, but pilots can't do anything with it. And so, yeah, we try to replicate what is there today.
And obviously we're talking about the technology for batteries, and that's improving over the years. If you look out into the future, what do you think is possible in terms of stage length, how long a flight could be?
Yeah, so where we are with the Beaver right now is that we can do an hour's flight inclusive of reserves. And to be honest, that's kind of what you want to do with the Beaver. Mm-hmm. So Harbor Air, our partner, they only operate it on 30-minute flights anyway. And so it works perfectly for them with five passengers.
So it's mission perfect almost.
It's mission perfect. And then as we look at larger aircraft, it's really about pushing the energy density of the battery so that we can really do those longer range flights with more passengers.
Mm-hmm. So switching to the electric motor, generally motors are lighter than your traditional internal combustion engines. What are your savings there for weight-wise?
Yeah, so we save quite a bit of weight on the motor, but we add it all back in and more with batteries.
Yes.
There's no free lunch,
there
right?
There's no free lunch. No, we are max gross weight when we take off. So, yeah, okay. And land.
What do you get for performance with the engine as opposed to a traditional motor?
Yeah, we see a huge improvement in performance. So the electrical system's 95% efficient in comparison to a piston or a gas turbine, which is maybe 30. Climb performance is significantly improved. We are able to go from a thrust setting at cruise from 63% with a radial engine to 41% with the electric. So much, much better than we ever expected.
So how did the partnership with Harbor come up? Did they search you out or did you search them out?
I think it was just a couple of innovators, right? They were willing to do something kind of crazy, right? And so all credit to Greg McDougall at Harbor Air, who just really wanted to make this happen. And, you know, we've had such a great partnership with Harbor Air from there on in.
Now, you actually have two Beavers in Oshkosh, don't you?
We do.
And where's the second one?
So one is on static display at booth 324, and the other one's at the seaplane base. And we will fly that as part of the show tomorrow.
Oh.
Ooh, that's what time is that?
It's about 2:30. So it will be the world's largest electric aircraft to ever fly at an air show, and the world's first commercial electric aircraft to fly at an air show. So big deal. We're very excited.
That's looking pretty exciting to see that tomorrow. But now you guys aren't just doing the engines for Beavers. You're working on some other platforms also. What other platforms have you put some of your engines in?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we've actually flown five aircraft to date, which is something we're really excited about. So we started out with the de Havilland Beaver in 2019. In 2020, we flew the Cessna Grand Caravan. In 2022, we flew a Robinson R-44 helicopter. In 2022, we also flew the Eviation Alice, which is a commercial platform prototype. And then in 2023, we flew the de Havilland Dash 8, and that was a hydrogen platform.
So when you're looking to, you know, basically you're retrofitting this into, you know, already existing aircraft. What's the certification process like? I mean, working with your regulators.
Yeah, so MagniX was the first company to agree special conditions for certification of an electric engine against Part 33. So we've really been leading on that front. So it is really just working through those 19 special conditions and, you know, showing compliance. So we've had to develop the means of compliance, write the test plans, write an electric engine endurance test plan is very different to a gas turbine or a piston. So we have to define the certification path, then define the means of compliance with that certification path, how we're going to test it, show that the test is representative, build conforming hardware, and get it into service. So a very traditional cert path on the engine side, and then we'll apply for the STC on the aircraft side.
So most piston aircraft pilots and owners talk about, you know, their engine as a TBO, time between overhaul. Mm-hmm. Do we have a spec for that on this?
So it's quite really quite different with a motor. There's no hot section.
Right.
So, you know, big overhaul just doesn't exist. So you're really looking at kind of replacing bearings, right? Your low cycle fatigue on shafts and casing, that's 10,000 hours. But the core of the motor is 20 to 30,000 hours. So we really see huge improvements in reduction in engine maintenance. And then really it's about managing the battery cycles instead.
A big consideration for a lot of people is the cost, you know. So how does the cost of, you know, the engine and the batteries compare to traditional motors?
Yeah, so I think it's what we really care about is direct operating cost, right? Really, what does this mean to customers who are going to buy this in the end? And so we can show with Harbour Air through the partnership that we have, where the fuel price in Canada versus the electricity price, we are about break even, even on really low volume entry into service. So immediate entry into service is break even on DOCs, which is really exciting.
But you're also getting increases in performance, as you said.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It can do everything they use it for. And so, yeah, for them, it really makes sense to go green immediately.
Do you have another aircraft in mind to retrofit?
Well, the next is the Dash 7. So we have a partnership with NASA under the Electrified Powertrain Flight Demonstration Program. So with that, we're taking the four-engine Dash 7 aircraft, taking two of the engines off and replacing them with full electric powertrains. So we show hybrid electric at the aircraft level. Really makes sense.
So hybrid electric, where are you getting the electricity from for the engines?
From the batteries. So it's a MagniX battery pack into a MagniX motor. Yeah, and we show about 30% fuel burn reduction from that, and we can maintain the original range of the aircraft. So that's really interesting for us.
Yeah, Reid, I was going to ask you, but I think we already know the answer. I was going to say, what does success look like to you? But it sounds like we're there.
We're there.
Yeah.
It's new and it's exciting. And we still have some work to be done on the certification side and in partnership with NASA and with the FAA, which we're grateful for their contributions and working with us to bring the technology to market. But we're looking at 2027 for certification entry into service.
Mm-hmm. And that's for which aircraft or just to as a general replacement for multiple aircraft?
Yeah, so we'll complete the NASA EPFD program, get certification on the engine, the battery pack, and the complete powertrain, and then we'll have a dual effort with in partnership with Harbour Air on the STC with Transport Canada.
Mm-hmm. Do you find much difference in working between U.S. regulator and Transport Canada regulators?
No, there's quite a good alignment. I think Transport Canada largely follow the FAA, but there is a big difference between EASA and the FAA. Right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Huge. Yep.
Are you also going to be looking for EASA certification also?
Yeah, but later.
Right? Later.
We'll work with the FAA, we'll get it certified, and then we'll work through how it works with EASA. But the standards are so different right now, it's very difficult to do it concurrently.
Well, looking at, you know, some of the new regulations coming out of EASA to support eVTOLs and things like that, I don't see the FAA going that direction at all. It's two different platforms and two different approaches to it. So
I agree, but largely we focus on the Part 23 and Part 25 world. Mm-hmm. You know, our biggest engine is 800 horsepower, so we're pretty sizable.
Are you looking at all and going to something a little bit smaller that I can put in my Cessna 172?
Maybe one day. We are so focused on getting what we have certified.
Okay.
And then go from there. You can get very busy doing a lot of R&D, but we are very focused on on bringing this technology to the market.
Is this something that's, from an engineering standpoint, easy to scale larger and smaller once you get the original certification?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of flexibility in motors, so we can support a wide speed range. We don't have to do a spot point engine design for a different platform. So there's wide applicability of our engine into different platforms. So yeah, scaling it up, scaling it down is pretty simple.
That's the easy part. The certification takes more time and more.
As everybody who has done anything in aviation, has seen before. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, and I don't recall. So what year do you plan on trying to get certified by 100%?
2027 will be certification entry into service.
So if we invited you back here in 25 and 26, we can get an update, right?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Of course. Yeah. But we're making great progress. It's exciting. There's really a lot of momentum behind bringing this to market.
And when you... what is your long-term after certification, goals, or is it you just kind of set on that certification at this point and then see what happens after that?
Well, I mean, certainly we're focused on certification and entry into service, right? And so we'll probably begin at a low rate of initial production, LRIP. Mm-hmm. We'll be developing other technologies, other engines, other sizes to bring to market and certify as well. So we'll be rolling all that out. So we look forward to really making a huge impact if you look at the need to reduce carbon emissions globally. And this is the beginning of just really a great wave of being able to make a major impact there.
Congratulations.
Right. Thank you.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us and talking about your engines from Magnix. We've been talking with Reed McDonald and Riona Armsmith, and you're listening to EAA Radio.